Father God, we just thank you for being here with us today. Let everything we do here be to your glory. We invite you here, Holy Spirit. Teach us the truth of your word. Lead us, guide us, direct us. Fill us with your strength to walk out what we hear, Lord. We thank you in advance for all that you're going to do. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. Well, good morning, everyone. It's a beautiful day out there. It's a beautiful day, whether it's raining or sunshine. I just happen to like a little better one than sunshine. And it's just me. Okay, good. I was going to start today a little bit different than I have. Each week, we've been starting out with kind of the title. We're going to go to that in about the middle of it today, because God directed me to start a little bit different today. And that was to first ask of you a question. Those of you who have been here and have been hearing these teachings, and he led me to ask a question, then I was thinking, well, maybe I should ask a different question first. Because depending on your answer to this one, you might not be able to, I'll know your answer to the second one. You'll see what I mean. The question I was to ask is, how many of you actually did what I exhorted you to do near the end of last week? Then the second question is, how many of you even remembered what I exhorted you to do? Because if you didn't remember it, you couldn't have done it. Okay? That's just the way my mind works. But he said, ask, how many actually did it? And what I exhorted you to do, for those of you who weren't here, because I see someone who wasn't here last week, that don't know if he actually listened online to the teaching, so he wouldn't have known. But also, just to refresh your mind about it, but to encourage you, if you didn't do it last week, do it this week. Okay? And I'll give you a couple reasons why. I exhorted you near the end of last week to spend time this last week meditating on Psalms, what it says in Psalms 48:9. It says, we have thought, O God, on your loving kindness. How many of you spent this week thinking on God's loving kindness? See, we talked about that in the last 2 weeks. It is out of his loving kindness that we see all of his good works. That's how we're moved, by compassion, out of mercy, out of it's loving kindness. That's where these acts of good works come from. We're going to talk more about that today, and even some more in the background. But part of the reason for encouraging you to do that, I shared last week as well, and that is, it is impossible. And I will say impossible. I don't know if I've read it in the Word, and that's usually about the only way you can declare something, okay? But to me, as I will say, I cannot dwell on God's loving kindness without being thankful. I don't think it's possible. I don't think it is. For me, I know it isn't, okay? And God wants us to be thankful, so it's a good thing to dwell and meditate on his loving kindness. That's why I was exhorting you to do it. Plus, it also goes along with what we're talking about. It keeps you focused on, hey, we're talking about love here, and God has something to show us. So when you're thinking about that during the week, it just kind of keeps you looking at and seeing things about love and about how God is showing you his love. And if he's showing you about love, the way he loves you, then guess what that also means? He's showing you how to love others. Okay, so there's a cycle involved here. And so if you didn't do it this last week, go ahead and do it this week. You'll find out I enjoy doing it because it literally puts me where I need to be. When I'm focusing on him, it's a good thing. Pastor Bill last week actually mentioned a passage that I had intended on sharing from. It was in my outline last week to go there. And one thing I do when I'm done sharing, I never go back and evaluate, well, did I do a good job or not? No, that's not what you do. But what God has always let me do, and I enjoy doing it, I love going back and looking, what didn't I share that I thought I was going to share? And then what did God have me share that I had no idea I was going to share? I actually like seeing that because it shows me how the Holy Spirit was working in and through me as I was doing it. And he loves showing me. So I actually enjoy doing that. It's the only thing I go back and look at when I'm done. Because I love seeing, well, I had no idea that was going to come out, but it did. And that excites me. So I was going to share last week on Philippians 4:8. And for those of you who are here, once again, and got to hear Pastor Bill's teaching, he shared about how early on in his life, he was in a work environment that wasn't the best as far as affecting your thought life, to put it in different words. And so he would always have the Word of God with him so that he could meditate on things what he should be meditating on and not letting his environment around him affect him. And I actually shared this with him this week. We talked once this week, and it was what God impressed me about that same verse. So I'm going to share it today. It actually goes along with Galatians 5:16, and I'll show you how. Galatians 5:16 is talking about the Spirit. And it says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So we have a Spirit. And the key is not for us to focus on not trying to walk in the flesh or the lust of the flesh, but in rather focusing on walking in the Spirit, and then you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So if you're constantly doing this, you have no time for this. It's the same way in Philippians 4:8. If your mind, not your spirit, remember we have a spirit, soul, and body, the mind being part of the soul. If your mind is constantly thinking on, meditating on, dwelling on what it tells you to dwell on and meditate on in 4:8, if you're doing that 100% of the time, how's the bad thoughts even going to get in there? There's no room. All you're doing is what you're supposed to be doing. So in other words, don't focus on not doing the bad in spirit and in the mind. Focus on doing what you're supposed to be doing. There won't be time for you to do the other. Okay? So Philippians 4:8 says, finally, my brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So quite an inclusive list here, okay? Now, think about what I had you meditate on, his loving kindness and all the good works that he does for you. Do you think that fits in this some of these categories? It does. Think on things that are good. And when you're thinking on the things of the goodness of God in your life and what he's done for you, you're meditating on what you're supposed to be meditating on, which is another reason why I had you doing this last week. We don't want that negative stuff coming in your mind. We want you focused on what God has for you and what you should be meditating on, and it's his word. So I encourage you once again, if you didn't do it this last week, do it this week. Let's join the ones who say we have thought. In other words, they said they've been doing it already. Okay? So next Sunday, I hope we can all say we have thought also on your loving kindness, oh God. Okay? So, and it was so fun. I enjoy, and I've said this several times to Pastor Bill, I love it when, see, I know what I've prepared for weeks going out, and I can tell you in the last 6 weeks, Pastor Bill has almost every Sunday shared something. I go, that was in my notes. He's already talking about it. He's preaching what I was going to preach. And I love it when it works that way. I have no problem getting up after he shared something because all it does is then reinforce it for you. Once again, faith doesn't come by having heard, right? Comes by hearing. So it's a good thing to hear it over and over again. And from different people, because each one of us are going to present it differently, right? And if you didn't get it the first time, maybe you'll get it the second time. I know I've had several things where I know I've had some awesome teachers in my lifetime. Many of you know Dale Armstrong. He was my pastor for like 10 years in the 90s. And so I got some great foundation laid in me back, you know, 35 years ago. And yet I can tell you there's some things I know he talked about probably 50 times in those 10 years that I got within the last 5 years when I heard it from someone else. It was like, I don't know, maybe I just wasn't ready then, or I was probably ready and just not paying attention. But sometimes hearing it just the right way from someone else at the right time, it's all of a sudden the light goes on. I get it now. I know that I'd heard it before, but I really didn't get it. So to me, hearing it again from someone else is a great thing. Once again, as Pastor Bill said several times, if you're the one going around saying, "Oh, I heard that before," you might want to do an inventory check, because then you're probably not in a good place if that's your attitude. It really should be, "Oh, I've heard that before, but I'm hearing again. Is there anything I'm missing? I don't want to miss it. If I'm hearing it again, there's probably a reason why God's having me hear it again." Okay? So I love looking for, well, I know this about that. What else is there? I'm always looking to God going, "Okay, show me what I'm missing here. What am I missing here?" And so I get excited about it. He actually also shared last week from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. And it was going to be in this week's teaching. So Philippians 4:8 was in last week's. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 was going to be in this week. So those of you who have the word in front of you want to turn there. Hebrews 10, 24 says this, because this links right into what we're sharing about. Right from the very beginning of the phrase, it says, "And let us consider," and we'll stop right there. I know I've shared this here before, but it's actually a very key word. And I've shared it this same way, but I'm going to say it again. You can think about something or someone your whole life and not do anything. But see, this word, it doesn't say "and think about," it says "consider." The reason it uses the word "consider," and it's the right interpretation, "consider" means to think about with the intention to act. That's what that word is supposed to be. And when you read that verse that way, not just think about, to think about with the intention to act, what does it say happens? "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." You see, by considering other people, we have to do that first before the love gets stirred up in us. If we're oblivious to people and we can go by them and not even see them, not consider them at all, love doesn't get stirred up. There's no way it can, because you got no one to love if you're ignoring everyone. You actually have to consider them and be stirred up. And it says, "and stirs up love and good works." Because out of love, out of specifically loving kindness, what's going to happen? It's going to stir you up to do the good works for the ones who you're considering, right? So this is an important verse. It goes along with what I've been sharing the last couple weeks and what we'll continue hearing about going forward. I don't know. Can any of you tell that I get excited about being up here sharing this? This to me is life. I mean, I love it. I know we've talked a few. It's like out of their love of God, they'll come up here and share, but they'd really rather not. All I can say is, how would I put this into words? It's not all about me being up here sharing, but I can tell you I love it. Because I know it's what God wants me to do. And so, to me, there's no better thing to do than to be up here sharing what God has for us. And I use the word "us." I have an advantage. I get to prepare this. God shows me things. And while I'm going through it, He shows me things. He'll do the same thing with you in your private time if you'll go there and do that and ask Him to show you things. But then I get the advantage of coming up here and tell you what He showed me. You know what that does for me? It only solidifies it in me, because I get to then say it out again. And once again, hearing it from my own mouth. And so I encourage you, when you get something, the word "meditate," I think y'all know what it means. I'm sure Pastor Bill shared it before. It means to mutter. It means say it over and over again. Just sit there going, "Yeah, love, love, loving kindness. It stirs up love if I consider people." Just go around muttering things like that, saying it over and over again. It's good for you. It gets it in you, okay? It becomes part of you. And so you, hearing your own self say this word of God's a good thing. So when you get something, don't be afraid to walk around your house saying it. In public, you might look a little crazy, but I don't mind. I do it anyhow. I'm sure driving along in the car, there's only me in the car and my mouth's moving along. If people drove up beside me, they go, "What's wrong with this guy?" It don't matter. Most of the time, they're not going to see me anyhow. Don't know who I am. They never. So, but I enjoy just speaking the word of God over my life at any time. As it comes to my mind, I say it out loud. It's a good thing. I mean, it's one thing. There are certain situations where, let's say in the middle of a board meeting, you probably don't recite it out loud. okay? But there are things going on in your mind. It's a good thing, and they constantly can be. But when you can, take the opportunity, speak it out loud. The Bible talks about what happens when we speak his word out loud. It affects things in this natural world. It affects things in your own life when you speak it out loud in faith. So I encourage you, go ahead, say it right out loud and let people think you're crazy. seriously. So what I also did last week was I shared the definition and a little background, both from Exodus chapter 34, verse 6, where the word chesed is mentioned, which is translated loving kindness correctly. And then in Philippians chapter 13, verse 4, which many would call 1 Corinthians 13 the love chapter. And it starts out saying, love suffers long and is kind. But I wanted to make sure that we were thinking the same thing when I talk to you about kindness. Sometimes if you're carrying on a conversation with someone or talking to a group of people, and they think the words you're using means this, and you're speaking with them having the understanding, well, this is what it means, there can be some great miscommunication if we're looking at words differently as to the intent of what's being said. So I just want to go back, do a brief review of really what we're talking about when we're talking about loving kindness. Okay, the word kind, as used in 1 Corinthians 13, 4, means to act benevolently. We know what that means, even though I couldn't say it very well. Benevolently, which means to behave in a kind manner. Now, once again, one of the things you learn in school is you don't define a word by using the word in the definition, because then you really haven't defined the word. So let's go on what that means. It means to exercise. We have a phrase at Christmas time. It says peace on earth and goodwill towards men. It's literally showing goodwill towards men. It is actually goodwill. And how do we do that? It's to show ourselves useful. When there's a need in someone else's life, we're willing to step right in and help fill that need. That's what happens out of loving kindness. Now, guess what? If you're not considering them, you're not even going to know what they need. You're not going to care. You've got to consider them before you can step in and be useful. It's easy to go through life. How would I put this? You could go through life not loving people. One way to do it, not be around people. The other is to be around them and really don't pay any attention to anything that's going on in their life. And that's not what God wants. That's why that 10:24 is so important. He wants us to consider one another. That's what it says. Consider one another. Now, what's important there in that passage, if you read on to 25, it's talking about the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some. So there is talking about considering your brothers and sisters in Christ specifically. That's what it's talking about. But I think all of you here have heard the word enough, and I know Pastor Bill would have shared this, even if I hadn't heard it, and that is, it's not limited to our brothers and sisters in Christ. That, and let us consider one another. If you look at Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, it says, and let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, it's a key word, let us do good to who? All. Especially to the household of faith. So it does say, clarify, yeah, make sure you have a focus on your brothers and sisters. Make sure you're being useful, you're being kind to them, but it does say to all. So it's not just limited to your brothers and sisters in Christ. That's Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Okay? So make sure you're considering people, and it's going to be part of what I'm going to share. Last week, I took time, as I'm going to do in each aspect or area or facet, whichever word you want to use, of love. The first thing I'm doing is making sure that we're clear on what it is we're talking about, but then showing God's example, Jesus' example to us, how he walked it out, so we can see what it looks like so we can walk it out. Because we're supposed to walk it out the same way he did. If we're doing it differently than he did, then we're probably wrong. I think I can say probably pretty safely. Okay? Now, once again, is everything going to be exactly like he did it? No, it's different situations, but the same principles apply. So we have to consider, which means to think about with the intention to act, how he did things, and then walk the same way. Okay? So one of the things that I want us to look at, actually next, is I'm going to give an example, and this is what I'm going to do in each case, out of my own life. I got a chance to share about long-suffering, how it's one of the tests that God had already put me through prior to starting his dealing with me on love this year. And I got the opportunity, I won't necessarily say pleasure, more than once to walk through long-suffering. It's one of those that I don't think any of us going around, yeah, teach me that one next. I just can't wait to do the long-suffering one. Maybe you do. I can't say that I did. It's all I'm saying. So, but that's something I've been walking in and God has given me tests on over a period of about the last 35 years specifically. I can remember a couple of instances that I've had to walk in for a long time because if it's short, it's not long-suffering, right? It means to suffer long. So, this example, I can say we have opportunities to do every day. We're talking about the loving kindness one now. But I can tell you, as I shared earlier, God started downloading in me day after day after day after day for like the first 3 months of this year about love and all these different aspects of love. And one of the things he impressed upon me, after the first few days, I go, okay. This must mean I'm not where I'm supposed to be at in love, or else you wouldn't be doing this every single day. And it's like, yeah, you're right. So in other words, I still had a lot more to get. I could have probably talked to you about them quite well. Just to quote scripture doesn't really mean you've got it. Okay? Are you living it? Do you really have the revelation of it in your life? And some of this that I'm sharing with you, that's still the case. He's still working it into me, okay? And in fact, this is one that I know I've walked in before, but did I really have it to the extent that God wanted me to have it? And the short and easy answer was no. Which, when you're not there, this is something else I've shared, is I've never prayed for tests. And we don't have to. Because if you really want what God wants, God's going to work into you what he has for you to learn by giving you tests. So you don't have to pray for them. They're going to come automatically. God's going to send them, and it's for your benefit. So when you see clearly that something is a test from God, it's something that Pastor Bill has shared, don't go running and trying to escape the test. Stay there and learn everything that God has for you in the test. And I will tell you what I'm going to share with you this morning. God showed me more than one thing out of it. And I'm only going to share part of it today because the second part that he was showing me, we'll actually won't share till week 9 or 10. So there was more than one thing involved in this test. And because of the way that God guided me, led me, directed me through it, he showed me several things that I needed tested on, which means I needed to grow in them, okay? I was actually driving my car. How would I put this? Have you ever seen a man on a mission? Have a man on, let's say, three missions. Okay. You see, oftentimes, I hate categorically grouping men, women, or any groups in specific groups and say this is the way they are. It's not really that black and white. But in general, I will say, because I can tell you from observation, most men, when they go out, they're on a mission. They've got this, this, and this to do, and they know they're going to go here, here, and here to do it, and they're going to walk into that place and do that. That's not typically how women do it. Well, leave it at that. It's different. Well, but I was on a mission, which meant I had here, here, and here to go, and I'm going to get it done, right? And I got about 1 minute from my house, the very first red light. And it wasn't even red, it was green, okay? Which meant I got to go right past what God wanted me to see. And it was really interesting in that, how many of you were here 2 years ago when Donna and Steve Mirabella were here for the first time and got to hear her share? She said something more than once in her testimonies. And what God said to me, I didn't hear it in Donna's voice, but he used her words. I'm driving by, and I was just going to keep going right on by. And God goes, you saw that person, didn't you? I'm like, yeah, I did. I guess that means something, right? Yeah. And if you remember her testimony, when she saw someone, God would say, do this. I showed you that person for a reason. Okay, well, God made it very clear. And I've driven past the person. I saw him, and God goes, you saw that person. Yep, I saw him. I'm like, okay. Now, here's where the consideration comes in. You can drive past him. I will tell you, because of my job that I did for many years, I was an outside salesperson. And I spent a great portion of my life in major cities. I have driven past thousands of men and women with signs up, homeless, begging for money. And I can tell you, I got so I could drive past them without even seeing them. I'm not saying this is a good thing. I'm just saying that's where I was at. I could literally, because they were there all the time, I had gotten to the point in my life where I could not see them. And here all of a sudden, God's going, you saw that one, didn't you? Yeah, I did. And instantly, I also knew, can I say that I heard a voice? No, but I knew. You're supposed to give that person this amount of money, and you're supposed to say this to him. You're supposed to say, God sees you and he loves you, and leave it at that, and just walk away. He said, don't say anything more. Just give him this amount. Now, God tells me that. Remember, I'm a man on a mission. I didn't have the amount of money in my wallet to give what that person said. That meant I had to go to my bank first, which I had to go a ways in a different way than I was going. And so how would I put this? It's something else we're going to talk about next week. Sometimes what God is going to give you to do will cause you to have some sacrifices in your life. Here was a sacrifice of my time. Because I was going here, and I had to get one of this done so I could do this once I got back home. You know. But he said, this is what I want you to give. So here you have a choice. Are you going to do what God tells you to do or not? Okay. I'm like, yep, okay. So I went to my bank, came back, and did that. Now, what's really interesting is two nights before this, I was out having dinner with a couple. And this is part of where the lesson continues because it's really, really good. One of the two people I was having dinner with, a couple, asked me a question. And they asked, so once God gives you a test and you passed, isn't it like a school student where they pass and now they don't have to have that test again because they passed that, they're going to go on and learn new things on which they'll be tested about later. And I can tell you that when I'd done what God told me to do, it was like I knew that I'd passed, you know, from him. It was just like, you passed. Because what he impressed upon me was, because you passed, I'm going to give you this test over and over and over again. Only it won't be a test, it's just going to be an opportunity to share my love and my light because I know that you'll do it because you've done it and others need to see that same thing. They need to see me and my love through you. So now I get to have this test over and over again. Only it's not so much a test. I look at it now as an opportunity. In fact, one of the things that's happened since this was about 2 months ago. Oftentimes when I would go out, I would leave my wallet at home. Sometimes I go out to work out at the gym. I don't need to have my wallet. In fact, I'd rather not leave it in my car or take it with me. Same thing as if I'm going out for a walk, like through the woods and parking my car somewhere. I'll just leave it at home. I know I can get it quickly because most of the places I'm going are fairly close to my home. But there has been several mornings where God has impressed upon me, even in situations like, take your wallet with you. And here's why. Be ready for the opportunity. Yes. And even on the days where I did that, and I would get home and go, I didn't get to do that today. I'd have liked to. I really was waiting for it to happen, and I didn't see anybody. But God goes, you still passed. Because you were ready. I asked you to be ready, you got ready. And there's going to be more opportunities. So in other words, prepare for, look for the opportunities. They are all around you. And he's going to bring them to you because he's looking for those who his light can shine through. His love can shine through. Because there are many out there that need to see his love. And they're just not seeing it. Okay? So I was excited. I mean, how many of you pass a test and you just kind of know, God lets you know, hey, you passed. That's a good feeling. Because I've trust me, I've failed them before too. And I've had to repent and ask for forgiveness. He's told me to do something and I've gone, I don't think I can do that right now. And then not did it. And it doesn't turn out so well. You'd think after you've done that once or twice, you would quit. Sometimes I'm a little slow though. But here's the key. Even when you fall flat in your face and it doesn't go well, he picks you up, dusts you off, and gives you the test again. Which is a good thing because he wants you to get it. But in this case, I got to pass, and now I get to do it over and over again. And that actually excites me. Because in doing it, as we talked about, in the same way Jesus learned obedience, it was by obeying and following his Father and doing what he said. The Bible says, it says, and he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. See, that's how God knows you love him. Do you have his commandments? First of all, if you don't know what they are, how can you do them? Okay? So you got to know what they are and actually know that they are a good thing. Shane shared a few weeks ago about we're not so, how would I put this, happy to be commanded around or just have commandments. But see, when you know the source of the commandment, and by know, when you know how much God loves you and that those commandments he gives you are for your benefit, then you're going to keep them. But he says, he'll know, says, he who has my commandments, it is he who loves me. That lets him know, hey, this person's doing exactly what I told him to do. That actually shows our love back to God, that when we do keep his commandments. So I love it when he gives me these opportunities. You can call them tests. I used to look at tests, oh boy, here we go again. This isn't going to be fun. This is going to be difficult. I actually now welcome tests, even though I still don't pray for them, especially some of them, because I know they're opportunities for growth, to become more like God. So now we're at about a little more than 10 minutes from my wrapping up time, and we're going to get back to the title, which is where I normally start. And that is, in all of this, what we've been talking about is to take your next step in love. And by that meaning, to the point that you have revelation from God, of God, as to an area of love. And I'm like I said, we're talking about these as areas, but they're all love, and they all work together. You really, in a way, can't separate them. We've talked about that a little bit with long-suffering and loving-kindness. It's going to be impossible for you to walk through long-suffering if loving kindness is not involved. See, it's out of loving kindness that you show mercy, which leads you to forgive people. And if you can't forgive someone, you're not going to be able to walk through with them in long suffering. So in other words, even though we're talking about them separately, they really are not to be separated. It's all love. If you're doing one and not the other, you're still not walking in love. Okay? You got to walk in all of it all at once. Okay? So that's what we want to have here. And part of the title that went on was saying that as we continue in obedience to his commandments, his character is developed in us. As we walk in it and then walk in it and walk in it and walk in it, it becomes part of who we are. We become his children, truly as the word says. We become more like him. Initially, when he gives us revelation, we actually have to think about before we do something. What has God just revealed to me to show me I need to walk a little bit different than I have been so that when I come up to that situation, that test, like, oh, God said this. This is what his word says. As I now do this, I'm going to do it this way, God's way, instead of how I did before. So in other words, it takes some time or maybe even a pause to think about what God has revealed to you so that you can walk in it now the way you're supposed to. But after you've done this over and over again, it becomes part of who you are, and then you really won't even have to think about it because it's part of who you are. You'll just do it. But in each of these areas, each one of us, I'm sure, and I shared this kind of as we began this, are developed in different areas at different stages. I can say that about each one of us. In some of these areas, God has had me walk in them for quite some time. Others, I got one in particular that I'm going, that I haven't shared about yet. I'm going, I haven't done this one at all. And it's not that I can say that I think I've ignored it. I don't even know where the opportunities come from. We'll see what God has before I share on that one. So I know I have some room for great growth, specifically in one of them. And others, I'm, once again, kind of at the baby stage of walking in it. Others, I have developed more in. But wherever you're at, the key is walk to the level you're at right now. Think about all that God has showed you about who he is and the revelation that you do have. But the key is, one of the keys is don't settle there. In other words, don't think, this is what I know about love, so that's how I'm going to walk in it. And then be done with it and say, that's good enough. It's not. We talked about a couple weeks ago what 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12, chapter 4, 1 and 2, and 4, 9 and 10 says. It's God's desire that we increase and abound in love. Well, the only way you're going to increase and abound in love is by increasing and abounding in more revelation of who God is and what his love is. Okay? So you should be expecting and wanting more revelation in this area. Because it's only in that you're going to be able to increase and abound and walk in more. Right? Okay? So I hope that's a prayer and desire for each one of us here. It is for me. Because of when I talk about, I asked someone, can you tell I'm excited when I'm up there? It's because God's taking me through this. I've been living this. And so to me, it's exciting because I can see what he's doing. It's going on right now in me. And it excites me. So I do want you to turn to another verse, and it's 1 John chapter 2, 5, and 6. And I can tell you about a third of what I was going to share today is going to have to go into next week, which is a good thing about teaching in a series, because if you don't get somewhere, it doesn't mean you don't have to, you just eliminate it, because I can say, I know God wants me to share it, so this way it doesn't get eliminated. I get to share it, it'll just be next week. And although sometimes I've noticed it doesn't let me end sometimes right where I would think, oh, I would rather end this here. God will work it all out. That's the one thing I'm comfortable with. Like today, I actually shared my example of loving kindness when that really would have fit well last week when I shared all the other things on loving kindness. But God will get it to you. That's the thing that I'm confident in. He's made it clear to me. Those of you who have trouble sharing, let's say in front of people, what I had to learn was think this is not about me. See, if my focus is on me, this is going to be difficult for me to do. When I can come to the point where God's got this, he's the one who's going to make sure you get what you're supposed to get. It's not me. Then this is easy. I can pretty much say, and I don't, because we study to show ourselves approved and we share what he wants us to share. But I could almost say about anything, and God's going to get to you what he wants to get to you. That's just how he works. And that makes this so easy. So hopefully that helps someone here who has trouble sharing. All you have to do is turn it over to him. You can share up here because it's not on you. It's on him. Okay? And he's faithful and he'll do it. And he does a much better job than I could do anyhow. Right? He does. So I once again, I love the opportunity, but he'll take care of it. So y'all got to 1 John chapter 2, verse 5 and 6. This is something else that goes along with the keeping of his commandments. And I want you to see something here. We're going to stop at the very first phrase. It says, but whoever keeps his word. Now, I can tell you that I had the interpretation of this wrong for, only over 50 years. Okay? And I can tell you from hearing other people talk about it, they've had it wrong too. Okay? So it's, but it's no big deal. I'm not putting on anyone else. It's just sometimes we read something, we think we know what it says. And it took God stopping me and going, okay, you thought you knew what this was, so you never looked it up to see what it really means. Well, that means, well, then I probably should look it up, right? Yeah. So what's interesting about this word keeps, it doesn't mean do. Most people think because of other things that are said in the word, like James, where it says he does, you were to do his word and not just hear it. This doesn't mean he who does his word. It says he who keeps his word. And I think we read it and see it as he who does his word. I don't know if any of you have read it the same way. That's how I saw it my whole life. Until God said, nope, that's not it. And I'm like, okay. What does keeps really mean? If you look up the Greek word there, it means to guard by keeping your eye upon. Now read that verse. Putting that in there. He who guards by keeping his eye on his word. Then it goes on. Now you got to see what happens from doing that. But see, our starting point is not in the doing. It's in guarding by keeping our eye upon his word. Then what follows is the doing. So it's not saying the doing doesn't happen, but you're not going to do the doing if you haven't done the first part. Guarding by keeping your eye upon his word. Okay? Because then it goes on to say, but whoever guards by keeping his eye upon his word, truly the love of God. So we're talking about love, is perfected, made mature by reason of use. So there's the doing. If you're not doing it, you are not being made mature because you're not doing it. But truly the love of God is perfected in him in the doing. But once again, you're not going to do the doing if you haven't guarded by keeping your eye upon his word. That's the starting point. You see, if you don't know his word in a given area, if you don't value it, you're only going to guard that which you value. If you don't care about it, why do you need to keep your eye upon it? It wouldn't matter if someone came and stole or not. You do know Satan will come and try to steal the word from you. Okay? It should be valuable enough to you that you keep your eye on it all the time. And see, when you, this says when you keep your eye upon it all the time and do it, that you will become mature in a given area. And then as that passage closes, if we keep walking on down, it says, by this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought to what? Also walk just as he walked. So in other words, we'll be able to walk in love as he is love, and he demonstrates his love. We'll be able to walk, take that next step in love the same way that Jesus walked. Okay? So this excited me as he was showing me this. But keep your eye on the word. Know what the word is, because you can't do it if you don't know what it is and if it's not constantly before you. Okay? Just like you need to consider people to be able to do it, how are you going to do what you're supposed to do if you don't know what it is? Okay? And actually think about it when it's time to use it. If it's in there, if you've taken time to put it in there, the Holy Spirit will bring it back to you. Oh, you need to apply this here. This truth that I have shown you. This is how you walk this out in love the way you're supposed to. I actually got, and I'll close with this today. I actually got a brief test within 1 minute of pulling in the parking lot here this morning. And there's actually an interesting passage in James where it talks about the passage where it talks about the trials right at the very beginning. It says, and these trials that you'll have. And when you look that up, it actually adds more to that. It actually says the trials that are all around you. In other words, they're everywhere. And you're going to have many opportunities, I guess, is the key. So I'm driving down here, and there's a little side road. I don't know if any of you notice it. If you come this way on this road up here and then turn down to come to this parking lot, there's a little side road just about halfway down. I had never seen it before. I've driven past it, didn't even know there was a road coming out of there. Seriously, oblivious. Well, there was someone else oblivious this morning, too. Only they were oblivious to the stop sign that was at the end of that side road. I then became very noticeable of that side road because the person in a big truck with a trailer behind them, so that if I hadn't been paying, I guess I must have been somewhat awake because they pulled out, literally I would have hit him broadside if I hadn't seen it in enough time. As it was, I got a little more close than I would have hoped to, but you got a choice there. How are you going to react? Now, I can tell you, I had about a 1 second slip because I literally said out loud in the card, that was brilliant. But the next thing I said was, I forgive them, Father. And it made me smile. So these tests are all going to be around and different tests. The key is just constantly relying on him. That didn't just happen. In other words, there was a time in my life where I wouldn't have said, well, that's brilliant, and then gone right to, Father, forgive them. I would have had much more to say along with, that's brilliant part. That's what I'm saying. So I'd rather eliminate that totally, but literally it was gone as soon as, I mean it was gone, except for me sharing it here, because I actually found it is quite comical, after I said, I forgive them, Lord. That's really all it took. And of course, actually meaning it, just to say it without meaning it. But I meant it when I said it, and it was literally done. And it actually made me feel good. And not good in such a way as, oh, pat myself on the back. It made me feel good to see, I've grown a little bit in this area because of the work that God's done in me. And so that good was, as Pastor Bills put it, at least this is the way I rephrase what he says, there's side benefits to walking in love. We can actually feel good about it because we've done it the way he wants us to do it. It's, once again, it's not of us. But we do have to walk this out. We have our part, okay? But the main part of our part is keeping our eyes focused on his word, where we'll find out what we're supposed to do, then doing it. Well, no, I'll add a second step. Keeping our eyes upon his word and asking him to reveal the truth of his word to us. We can often look at his word and quote his word, as I said, but if we don't have his revelation on it, we're going to have it wrong. And if we've got it wrong, we won't be able to rock it out right. Okay? So asking for his revelation on that word and then doing it. So I encourage each one of you, as I ask God every day, show me more of your revelation and then give me the power, the strength, and the ability that only you can supply to walk it out the way you would have me walk it out. So let's close there today. Father God, we just thank you for the truth of your word and that you do empower us, enable us through your strength to be able to walk as you would have us walk. We thank you so much for all that you've done in us and look forward to all that you're going to continue to do with great joy, walking in love and joy and peace. We just thank you again, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, amen.